Hey, fellow mathers, do you have limited classroom time? Do you want to make the biggest, best impact on your students that you can? Then you need to start here with the Math is Figureoutable Challenge.
It's 3 1-hour sessions of the quickest and most powerful ways to reach the most students with the most math. We're having special guest Jenna Laib. Mark your calendars for May 15th through 17th at 7 p.m. Central and watch this space to find out when registration opens.
If you can't make those times, you'll want to register anyway so you can get access to the session recordings. And now, on to the episode. Hey, fellow mathematicians. Welcome to the podcast where math is figureoutable. I'm Pam Harris.
And I'm Kim Montague. And we answer the question, if not algorithms, then what? In our last episode, Pam talked about real math, fake math, and mathematizing your world. So today, we're going to talk a little bit about what that looks like. So Pam, we're going to call this episode, What Mathy People Do.
Right. And then we had this long conversation about that we don't want to give the wrong impression, because we believe that all people can be mathy people. It's just that maybe we're not yet, because we don't even know that it's a thing. Like, we don't know exactly what it means to be a mathy person. But it can be helpful to know what those mathy things are that people do in their heads. When I think sometimes we've looked at people and gone like, I don't even know what you're doing in your head. So if we can point out those things, like I began to be able to develop as a mathematician when I could understand more what mathy people were doing in their heads. And then I became more of a mathy person, because to be that sort of mathy person, remember, we think everybody could be a mathy person, but to be that mathy person, what we think that means is that you have a dense brain structure. That means you have lots of connections in your head. When you solve problems, you want to have at least a few directions that you can go, a few relationships that you can use, because mathy people don't just follow a rule and do the same steps all the time. Mathy people let the numbers or the structure influence which relationship they might use today to solve that problem. They might even use a different one the next day to solve the problem.
Sure. So when we hear or think of a particular number, lots of things come to mind.
Yeah. So for example, Kim, if I just said the number 36, what comes to your mind?
36. So I think 6 squared. I think of 36. Think one more than 35. If I'm thinking about money, I'm thinking a quarter, a dime, a penny. I think in 64. What else?
64? Kim.
Yeah.
The rest of you guys might be wondering, 64. I said the number 36. Why would 64 come to mind when I say the number 36?
Oh, sure. It's the partner of 36 to 100.
So that's interesting. Now, y'all, before I became numerically powerful, I didn't know it was a thing to know the partners of a number to 100. So 36 plus 64 is 100. And that's a thing. It's a thing to know the partners of 10, 100, and 1,000. Who knew? Well, mathy people do. And so if we all want to become mathy people, which we believe we can, then it's a thing to sort of be able to recognize numbers, partners to 10 or partners to 100 or partners to 1,000. These are relationships that mathy people own, and then they can use them. Mm-hmm. Because these are important relationships, Kim came up with this routine called I Have, You Need. It's an instructional routine that she played with her students. So I would do the same instructional routine with people in workshops. I did it with people in my university class. But one day we were in a workshop and Kim said to me, I'm not sure you really appreciate how important the partners of 100 are. And I was like, no, I get it. You know, they're important. She goes, yeah, but you don't own them. I don't. And the reason I think at that moment, if I remember correctly, Kim, it's because we were solving some problem and that relationship did not come to my mind.
Yeah.
And it did to yours. And so you just kind of politely poked me a little bit to say, hey, that is important. So y'all, I take whatever Kim says seriously, and I took it seriously. And so from that moment on in my university classes, we would play I Have, You Need, this routine we're going to tell you about. Every day in my university class, we'd play it the very first day of the semester, and then we would play it every class period a little bit. I assign it for homework. Interestingly, at the end of that semester, I always ask my students, what's the best thing we did in class this semester? And what would you have me improve? What's the thing that you would ask me to do better next semester so I can improve? And that semester, and ever since, I always get students that will say the most important thing we did all semester was learn their partners of 100, partners of 1,000, playing I Have You Need. And that was so interesting to me. I was like, wow, this really is important. And then I would ask them, like, why is that the most important thing? And they said, because those relationships show up everywhere. So today, the podcast, we thought we'd share that with you. We thought you'd share this important thing that mathy people do so that we can all become more mathy. So let me tell you a little bit more about this routine. The routine is, let's say that it's total 100. So we're going to play I Have You Need, total 100. And it simply goes like this. If I say I have 70, then Kim, what do you need to make 100?
30.
And if I say I have 90, what do you need?
10.
And if I say I have 40, you need?
60.
And if I have 20, you need?
80.
If I have 85, you need?
15.
Now, Kim's pausing a little bit because we talked about this and I wanted to make sure that there was a little bit of time for you listeners to think a little bit before she just gives the answer. So I'm going to do a couple more. Kim, just pause about the same amount of time. But everybody out there in listening land, think about if you know these partners of to 100. If I give you the number, what do you need to add to it to get to 100? So if I say I have 65, you need?
35.
If I have 55, you need?
45.
How about if I have 35? What do you need?
65.
Now, you might have noticed that so far I did sort of decades. I did multiples of 10. So I did numbers like 80, 90, 40, 20. And then I did some multiples of 5, 85, 65, 55, 35. Then eventually you want to get to the point where you can do any random number. Like if I were to say I have 67.
33.
What do you need, Kim?
Oh, sorry. 33.
So 67 plus 33 is 100. What if I said I have 82? You need
18.
So I should be able to say any random number, like I have 27. What do you need, Kim?
73.
Bam! I mean, that's just like uncanny. And I'll tell y'all, we don't have those written down. I was just like saying numbers.
I was
nervous.
Kim was
spitting them back. And so that's a goal. Now, we're going to tell you a little bit later in the podcast why that's such a goal. But that's a thing to know, that we can play this I Have You Need routine to get ourselves and our students better at those partners of 10, 100, and 1,000.
Yeah. So teachers and parents, we would highly recommend first work on partners of 10. If you have older kids, you can do the decades, 20, 40, 60, and you can see if they own the partners of 10 that way.
So like with young learners, you might do something like a total of 10. I have 8. You need
2.
And if I have 3, you need
7.
But if you want to do that with older kids, like Kim was just saying, you could say I have 80. You need
20.
And if I have 30, you need
70.
And in a huge way, that's sort of checking those older kids' partners of 10. So Kim, tell us about that experience you told me about your third grade teacher friend.
Yeah, I had a friend once who taught third grade, and she was kind of lamenting one day about how her kids didn't own their partners of 10. They were kind of struggling, and she said, man, these kids came to me. They don't even know their partners of 10. And I said, wow, it's October. You know, it's one thing if they come to you and they don't already have their partners of 10. But by October, that's kind of on you. You know, it's a thing to figure out kind of where your kids are. And then work on it. If they don't come to you with those partners, you know, you got to kind of work on it with them.
Yeah. At some point, the rubber hits the road. And you can't just say, bummer, they came to me without what I need or what, you know, then let's recognize it and work on it. So first, we would recommend that you work on partners of 10. Make sure they know those. Work on partners of 100. That's the next thing. As you do this routine, teachers and parents, first work on those multiples of 10, those decades, 20, 30, 40. Work on those first. Once kids know those pretty well, then go to the multiples of fives, 55, 75, 95. And then once they've got multiples of fives, then work on any random number, the ones, so like 67, 83, 52. As you do that in each of those categories, the decades first, then the fives and the ones, in each of those categories, use the bigger numbers first. So like if I begin playing with any kid, random kid, and I just say, hey, if I have 87, you need, I'll use a number 87 closer to 100 first before I'll say, I have 13, what do you need? Because it's actually kind of kind of funny when you play this game with kids and you say something like, hey, I have 85. What do you need? They'll be like, oh, okay, I can do that. I count up from 85 to 100. They figure it out. They say 15. But then if you turn right around and go, I have 15. What do you need? They'll go, oh, crud. It's 15 is so much further from 100 that they if they're still counting up, then they might not recognize that they could just count back 15 from 100. So one way that you can sort of mess with that a little bit, help kids recognize that, is you can give kids a number like, hey, I have 77. Kim, what do you need to make 100?
23.
And then you can write back, go, I have 23. What do you need?
77.
And so then, especially if I write those down, I can write those two partners down, 77 plus 23 equals 100, 23 plus 77 equals 100. And I can just notice it and just go, huh, look at that. And then kids can start to go, oh, I could sort of count back from 100. I can use what I know about the other partner, and that can kind of help. So again, just to recap, do the decades first, then the fives, then the ones, and do the bigger numbers close to the total first, and then do the smaller numbers. And then you can play total 1,000. All right, Kim, you ready?
I think so.
If I have 654, what do you need?
346.
Bam. And that's unbelievable. So you kind of want to be able to play total 1,000. So Kim, we've talked about what and how to play. Why are partners of 10 and 100 and 1,000, why are those so important?
Oh my gosh, subtraction. When one of the things that I noticed as a third grade teacher is that subtraction across zeros was a nightmare. I think every third grade teacher listening will say the same thing. Subtracting across all those
probably
zeros.
Probably fourth grade.
Right. So, you know, all the crossy outies and like, where does the 10 go? Where do the nines go? It's kind of like that nightmare series of days that you're practicing that. And what I found out was that if I worked on partners of 100, then my students weren't considering all those crossy outies and using traditional algorithms. They were really thinking about how far away to the next 100 am I?
So, for example, if I did something like 100 minus 57, your students didn't line them up and cross the zeros out and turn it, one of them into a 9, one of them into a 10. Or they just thought, well, what do I need from 57 to get to 100? Bam.
Yeah.
That's a brilliant strategy that's really, really helpful.
Right. So as an elementary teacher, Pam, I'm thrilled with the routine we've just talked about. Tens, hundreds, thousands. And we didn't mention it earlier, but even partners of one.
Oh, yeah.
What role does I Have You Need play in middle school and high school? Maybe you can talk about the partners of one for just a second.
So I could play I Have You Need total one, where I could use decimals and I could say, so 0.57 or 5700. So what do I need? And you're kind of just using the same relationships as a 100, but kids have to think a little differently. Sure. It sort of trips their brain. And so that could be great. You can also play total one, where you could say, I have 4/5. Mm-hmm. What do I need to make 100? I just need one more fifth. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds a little bit elementary, but you'd be surprised that it could be kind of helpful for kids. So yeah, we can absolutely play close to one. That's a great kind of lower middle school thing to do. So you ask about middle and high school. Well, funny enough, if students in middle and high school don't know their partners of 10, 100, and 1,000, then that's a thing to do. We would want to start there. But also, as we get kids to kind of realize that there are these delightful relationships with those nice numbers, the nice numbers of 10, 100, 1,000, 1, we can also have nice numbers like 180 for the sum of the measures of an angle of a triangle, of the angles of a triangle. So you could play a little bit of I Have You Need with 180. Or just that sense of, ooh, what are these things that add together to be 180 is helpful. But also you could think about radian measure, precalculus teachers and trig. If we could think about the fact that we have these nice friendly numbers that we are dealing with, well, could I deal with 2π for radian measure? And then I could think about the pieces that make those angles up. So if I know where 2π is, can I know where 1/2 of π is? Or we tend to call that pi halves because we like to be silly as mathematicians. We like to sound like we're really intense. So instead of saying 1/2 of π, we say pi halves. But by knowing there's this sort of sense of these nice numbers and the totals, that can help us with some of these things in higher math.
So listeners, go play I Have You Need by yourself when you're driving in the car, when you're tootling around your house, play with your personal kids, play with your classes, with your significant other. Build your relationships with partners of 10, 100, and 1,000 in order to be more dense when you think of numbers.
Yeah, y'all. So let me tell you, now that I own those partners, I start to play with partners of 60.
60?
Yeah, right. Because so I'm on the elliptical, right? I got a minute left. Mm-hmm. I got a minute left. And so I start thinking about things like, okay, 10 seconds have gone by. Let's see. That's a sixth of a minute. And so I've got 5/6 to go. Oh, now 12 seconds have gone by. So that's a fifth of a minute. I got 4/5 to go. Oh, now 15 seconds have gone by. That's a fourth of a minute. I've got 3/4. And I can play with more relationships because I sort of own more with 60. And so those are some fun relationships that I've started to play with.
So one cool thing that mappy people do, partners of numbers.
Excellent. Especially that 10, 100, and 1,000. And then we can move on to others once we know those. Hey, y'all, if you want to have more information about this cool routine, we have a downloadable guide for you. You can print it. You can put it in your lesson plan folder, hang it on your wall. So both Kim and I have this technique when we were in the classroom where we would have an index card and we would have kind of important things that we would do in those last 38 seconds before the bell rang or before the kids moved on to specials or whatever. And so on that index card that you have hanging by your door, you could put I Have You Need. That could remind you to play I Have You Need. But y'all, you can download this, our nice downloadable that we have for you. It's a whole guide on the routine, the instructional routine I Have You Need. You can go to mathisfigureoutable.com/you need. That's mathisfigureoutable.com/you need to download it, or we'll post it in the show notes for you to download at your pleasure. Y'all, if you wouldn't mind, like the podcast, give us a nice review so more people can see it. That helps people find the podcast. We appreciate it. Check out the website, mathisfigureoutable.com. We'd love to have you join us Wednesday night on Math Strat Chat. So if you're interested to learn more math and you want to help students become mathematicians, then the Math is Figureoutable podcast is for you, because math is figureoutable. Thank you for listening and making math more figureoutable.
Remember, we're going to be opening registration for the Math is Figureoutable challenge soon. Mark your calendar for May 15th through 17th. You are not going to want to miss these free PD evenings where you'll learn 4 routines you need in your classroom that are naturally engaging and encourage students to think mathematically.
And remember, if you can't make those times, registering gets you access to the recordings. Keep making math figure outable.